And Father, yes, there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to never underestimate the power in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your love, a love that never gave up on us, a love that, Lord, that prepared the way for us back to you before we were ever born. You tell us in your word that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world, that you had already prepared a way for us back to you. Father, thank you for such love that we can't even fully describe, let alone understand. But Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. And that your love doesn't want us to stay where we are, but that your love moves us to follow you closer, to be more like you, to be filled with your Spirit and empowered to do those things that you call us to do. Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Anxiety pill. So if you talk about anxiety or you talk about worry, it's something that is common in our century. As a matter of fact, this first slide here is a definition of anxiety from Psychology Today. Now, it's not something I often read, but I thought that this was a pretty good description. Anxiety is one of our modern plagues. Now, this is from Psychology Today. Its effects are visible everywhere, interfering with our happiness and our ability to live productively. Anxiety limits our connections with other people, saps our energy, reduces our focus and our skillfulness, and undermines our health. Anxiety is a weapon of Satan. And now one thing that I knew it was a lot, but I was really taken aback. The numbers I could find were for 2002. That's 18 years ago. 2002, there were 3.3 billion prescriptions for anxiety in the United States. That is equivalent to 12 prescriptions for each person, man, woman, boy, and girl, alive in the United States. Now, obviously, everybody didn't get them. But the point is, there were more prescriptions written 12 times than there are people in the United States. It is a plague, and it is severely hampering the lives of far too many people. And it is an effective tool and weapon of Satan. Now, before we start this, I am not up here to tell you that if you have medication for anxiety, that you should not take it. I'm not saying that. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying today, because there are some great medicines that doctors may prescribe for that. I'm not saying that you should not take that medicine. What we're looking at today is what ultimately the root cause of anxiety is in the human condition and what God's prescription is for that. Okay? So let's look at some scriptures today. First of all, from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Good News Translation puts it this way. For the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Do you see worry or anxiety anywhere in that scripture? No. So God has given us His Spirit, with a capital S, the Spirit of God, not to make us timid, but to make us have this power, this love, and this self-control. Because that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Let's keep going. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, this is Jesus, do not worry about your life. Okay, now worry, now this verse actually says the word. You can put, don't be anxious. The word worry and anxious, anxiety is the same thing. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus is telling the people here, he's saying, don't stress out in our modern vernacular. Don't stress out. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about the stuff of life. Because life is more than the stuff that we're talking about here. Is it not? Yes. He's saying, don't worry about the clothing. He says, Solomon, the greatest king that Israel ever had, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like the flowers of the field. He says, the sparrows. Now, we see sparrows everywhere, don't we? I remember growing up, sparrows were everywhere. I was in Academy Sports the other day, and as I was checking out, some movement caught my eye, and a sparrow come flying right by the checkouts and lit up on those Yeti coolers, those $500 Yeti coolers. A sparrow lit up there. They're everywhere. And God says, do the sparrows worry about where their food's coming from? No. He says, God provides that. The point of his message here, the point of the verse here, is don't waste your life worrying about the small things of life. Now you might say, well, they're not small. Well, in the eternal scheme of things, quite often we worry about the small things of life. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Because life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Let's keep going. Okay, now this is getting even more to the point. God's Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says this, be anxious for what? Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything is the opposite way of looking at that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the what? Which is the opposite of anxiety. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard them from what? Anxiety is one of the things. Guard. The peace of God guards against anxiety. Let me ask you, do you think Jesus was anxious? Do you think Jesus worried? No, he did not. Do you think Paul worried? We don't have, I mean, he may have. He's a human, but we see no evidence. As a matter of fact, what did Paul say in his writings when he was facing death at the hands of the Romans? He said, if I die, it's okay. And if I don't die, it's okay. He says, if I die, I'm going to heaven with Jesus. If I don't die, I'm going to keep preaching and it's going to be good for you guys. So he concluded by saying, whether I live or die, it's all good. And he was not boasting. He was serious. Now how can he say that? Because he had the peace of God. A different perspective. Let's keep going. So then, as we examine this modern plague, this modern, I say modern, Satan's used it ever since creation, this weapon that Satan uses called anxiety or worship, or not worship, but worry. So what is the source? Where does this come from? Well, ultimately, I think there's three main areas here that we can look at that anxiety, that worry comes from. The first is it comes from fear. We become anxious or we worry when we're fearful. Think about it. The times you have been anxious or worried, were you afraid? And chances are probably you were, at least to some extent. We become fearful and then we worry about it. What's going to happen? I don't know. What can happen? And you all know individuals, and perhaps it maybe maybe you're one of them, that you automatically assume it's going to be the worst thing. It's going to be the worst thing. And I've had people tell me, well, I assume it's going to be the worst, that way I won't be surprised. Yeah, but what if it's good? All that time and worry takes a toll on a body and on a mind. And on a spirit that God never intended you to have. Never intended. Because when we fear, then we can't do the things that God calls us to do. Because humankind generally has two responses to fear. Anybody know what they are? Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Well, the things we worry about, how are you going to fight them? There's not much you can do about most of them. There's not much to fight. And where are you going to go from them? People run, but where are you going to run to? Hopefully that's where you're going to run to, but we run, as human beings, we run all over the place, and you never get anywhere. You know the mouse that runs in the cage? He spins that cage at 100 miles an hour, but he's never going anywhere. And that's sort of what worry and anxiety does. We worry, and we fear, and we start spinning that cage, and we're not going anywhere, and we're not doing anything. It'd be a whole lot better to go to your knees. I love the movie War Room, because that's where the battle, that's where you ought to go. Not run from God, not run from the problems, run to God. Fight on your knees, that's a good place to start. So the source of anxiety, the source of worry, first and foremost is fear. We fear a lot of things. We fear death. We fear pain. We fear aloneness. We fear all kinds of things. And we're going to talk about how to cure fear in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. What else is the source of anxiety? The unknown. When we do not understand or cannot explain stuff, we get anxious about it. We get anxious about it. When you were growing up, did your mom or dad ever tell you to do something because they said so? Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, I hated that. I hated that. Because I wanted to know why. But mom or dad say, just because I said so. And I remember saying, when I have a kid, I will never ever tell them just because I said so. That lasted probably a year maybe. And finally I just said, Diane said why about the 5 millionth time, and I said, just do it because I said so. Now why did I tell her that? Did I tell her that because I wanted to be mean? No. I told her that because I knew she could not understand why she needed to do that. But if she would trust me and do it, it would be good. Well, friends, we don't understand as God does, and we just need to do what God said. God told Moses to raise his staff over the Red Sea. They were with their back to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army to their front. And it seemed like raising your stick over the Red Sea was not a whole good idea. But Moses did it. He raised his staff up over the Red Sea. And what did God do? He divided the Red Sea. Now, you know, when he divided the Red Sea, I don't mean a little path across the Red Sea. I mean a swath wide enough for 1 million Jews and their herds to cross over on dry land. So it was opened a lot longer than just a few minutes. If you saw Charlton Heston on the Ten Commandments back 100 years ago, you know, it only lasted a few minutes because the movie, you know, couldn't be that long. But I bet that water was open for almost a whole day for that many people to walk across on dry land. And God held the Egyptian army at bay until they crossed over. Then he removed the pillar of fire, and the Egyptian army chased them. Well, I wouldn't be running in there, but they chased them across. And what did God do? He closed the Red Sea. God, man, how do you do that? Well, that's God. The Israelites feared for their lives. They were anxious and they were worried, and they started complaining to Moses. They didn't know what was going on. They were complaining to Moses, but God had the whole thing in control the whole time, didn't he? God knew where they were at. He knew where the Egyptian army was. God was not surprised. God was not, oops. God knew what he's doing. Do you think God don't know today what he's doing? Yes, he does. So just because you don't understand, it's not a reason to be anxious, but we do get anxious when we don't understand. We also get anxious when things change. Oh my goodness. I said at work one day, I was going to get a t-shirt made with this saying, change is stressful. because we would make changes in control systems and the operators would freak out. So, you know, we would explain what you're going to do and how it's going to work, and they still, like, it wasn't that way before. No, it's new. And they stressed out, they worried, because change is stressful. When we experience change, we get anxious sometimes, and I think part of it's because we realize, I'm not in control. I'm not in control. Are you in control? No, not really. We're not in control. God is in control. The sparrows, why don't they worry about getting the food? Because they're not in control. So understand, as we start this, that the source of anxiety, the main three sources, are fear, the unknown, and change. Let's keep going. So Satan uses that to his advantage. Because when we have fear, when we have the unknown, when we have change, when anxiety and worry comes up, then Satan uses that to try to cause us to doubt God. Doubt is the enemy of faith. Doubt is the enemy of faith. When Satan appeared in the form or in the animal of the serpent to Eve, what did he say? He said, did God say this? Did he really mean that? He put doubt in the mind of Eve, and ultimately Adam as well, and they sinned because they didn't fully place their trust in God. So Satan attempts to cause us to doubt God. Friends, do not ever doubt the love of God. Do not ever doubt the Word of God. Do not ever doubt the presence of God in your life. Things may not be going like you want. Things may not be going like you expected. Things may not be going like you understand they can. You may be wondering, where in the world is God? I promise you, He is not left. He is in control. So don't doubt God. Now I know, you know, you might say, well, I'm a human, I have doubts. And yes, I understand that we have doubts, but understand that doubt is a weapon of Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. We need to say that sometimes too. Get behind me, Satan. If you can't see, you still trust God. Now I don't know, I know we got at least one person that can fly an airplane in here, maybe some others, but I never flown an airplane. Don't get on one if you see me at the controls, okay? But you know, one thing that really gets me is when they learn to fly by instruments. I want to see out there. I want to see that ground I'm going to land on. I don't want to trust these little dials and things. But they got to trust somebody. I had a friend who served in the helicopter units during the Vietnam War. And he flew an attack helicopter. And he said they were in an area where he had made a missile attack and apparently, or a rocket attack, really. A rocket attack, and he said, in retrospect, I was too close to the target when I fired the rockets. Because he said when the blast went off in the mud, it covered the whole canopy of the Cobra gunship. And he said, I couldn't see anything. And he said, I had to rely on instruments and an air traffic controller, whatever they call those guys in the Army, to talk me down when I got back to base. He said, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. He said, I couldn't see anything. I had to trust my instruments and trust that voice in the radio, you know, 50 feet, 25 feet, whatever, as he came down. Satan would cause you or try to cause you to doubt God. Don't ever doubt God. If you can't see Him, you can't hear Him, you can still trust Him. Amen? So Satan also attempts to draw our focus on the problem rather than the solution. Now perhaps you've experienced this or you've seen other individuals that has this happen. They worry because they're looking at the problem rather than the power and the solution. There's problems everywhere. Every day, God bless it, every day there's a problem, at least one. Probably many problems. And rather than be anxious and worry, look to the solution and the power for the problem to take care. Not the problem itself, look to the power. Now the disciples were in the boat on the lake, on the big lake, on the sea with Jesus. And Jesus was asleep down in the boat. And what came up on the lake or on the sea? A storm. You guys ever been on the water in a big storm? That's sort of scary, isn't it? And they were worrying about, and I can't blame them for being a little worried. I mean, you know, the water's coming in the boat and stuff's bad. But where did they go? They woke up Jesus. They went to Jesus. And they said, they woke him up. We're going to die. And he got up, and what did he say? Three words. Peace, be still. He's got the power. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the solution. And the disciples got it right. They saw the problem, and they went to the solution. They got him right here. Well, he's closer to you than he was to them. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, where does he live in your life? Satan also uses anxiety to contribute to a feeling of failure and powerlessness. He says, you don't have any power. He says, you're a failure. You're not going to ever amount to anything. Don't even worry about it. Well, I don't know about you, but I think if the God of the universe thought enough of me to die in my place, that gives me some value. Did he die for you? Yeah. Scripture says he loved you from the beginning and that he died for you when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And if God thought you were worth it, then who is Satan to say you're not? Who is anybody to say you're not? Well, Pastor, you know what I did. It don't matter. I don't have to know what you did or hadn't done. God knows what you've done or hasn't done. He still died for you. Scripture says he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that is Jesus Christ, that if you believe in him, you'll have eternal life. Do you believe? Do you trust? Then don't let Satan pull the wool over your eyes. Lastly, here's God's prescription. And the good thing is God doesn't write like a doctor. You can read God's prescription. Amen. Amen, that's right. Here's his prescription. First of all, power. God's Spirit is given freely without measure. Amen. Now, when Thanksgiving and Christmas comes around, whatever your favorite dessert is, pecan pie or whatever kind of cake or something, you know, if somebody gives you a little sliver like that, well, you look at them like they're crazy. What's wrong with you? It's Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. I want a piece about that big. God's Spirit is given without measure. He's not withholding anything. He's giving us His all. We are empowered through Him. You know, you got a saw of some kind, a Sawzall or reciprocating saw. Brand new, maybe. Maybe it's a battery powered one of those new 48 volt lithium cells or whatever back there. Looks great, all shiny, sharp, ready to go. But what's it got to have to work? Power. That lithium battery's got to be charged up and it's got to be seated in that saw, and then it'll work like a dream. We are empowered by God's Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Scripture says His Spirit takes up residence and He empowers us. He said, now listen, He says that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Do you hear me? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the church. The church is not these four walls. You are the church. All the power of Satan cannot prevail against you. Do you live like that? Do you live like that? The power of God. doesn't get any more powerful than that. Nuclear reactor's not that powerful. But that's not where his prescription ends. Power first, then love. Because 1 John 4:18, we talked about fear being one of the most powerful factors in anxiety. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. If you love God, if you trust that He loves you perfectly, there's no room for fear. Boom, out the door. Grab it by the scruff of the neck and throw it out the door. If you trust God, if you love God, and you know that He loves you like that, there is no place for fear. That's why Paul said, if they kill me or if they don't kill me, it'll be okay. He's not bragging. He's just saying, I love God, He loves me, I trust Him. Boom, that's the way it is. Perfect love casts out fear, and the love of God, the agape love of God, carried throughout the pages of this book, is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. When Scripture says God is love, talking about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Because He loves you and He's calling. Let's keep going. And then sound mind. Now, sometimes I wonder how many sound minds actually exist around. I look sometimes and I'm like, there's not a lot of sound minds out there. But God gives us a sound mind. Now, the trouble is sometimes we don't use that sound mind. But we can have and should have, Scripture says, the mind of Christ. We need to be feeding on His Word. You want to grow, then you've got to feed on His Word. Babies eat a lot. We eat a lot. And we do it several times a day. Why? Because we get hungry. And if we don't eat, we get weak. We need to feed our spirits as well. And I'm holding up what you need to feast on. And if you're only getting fed on Sunday, you are anemic. What if you only ate one day out of the week? Yeah, you're laughing because we'd be in the hospital, wouldn't we? Feed on His Word, transformed by His Spirit. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, transformed by His Spirit, not conformed to the world. See, Satan wants to mold you and make you into what the world, what he wants you to look like in the world, like every other carbon copy, worried about everything, paralyzed by fear. But God wants to transform you from the inside out by His Spirit. A sound mind. We're not confused. We're not distracted. We understand. We have discernment. We have wisdom. Not because we're so smart, but because that's given. What does Scripture say? Where does Scripture say you need to go to get wisdom? Ask God. That's right. Because He said, you want this sound mind? I give it to you. You want wisdom? Ask. I told the kids, ask, seek, and knock. You need wisdom. You need understanding. You need discernment. Have you asked? Transformed by His Spirit, not conformed to the way of the world. And the sound mind given by the Spirit of God grants us peace in place of anxiety. Now, do not misunderstand me. You're not going to walk around with a smile plastered on your face every day, all the day. That's not going to happen. Because happiness is dependent upon circumstances, and things will happen that are not happy. You won't be happy all the time. He didn't say He's going to grant us happiness. He said peace. Peace is the opposite of anxiety. Happy is not the opposite of anxiety. You've heard this before, but I'll repeat it. If you're happy all the time, you're probably on drugs. Because that's not normal. I mean, I'm serious. Is it? You're not going to be happy all the time. You're going to be joyful, though, if you have the Spirit of God. And if you want to not be anxious, if you want to not worry, the only way that's going to happen is if you have the peace of God, the peace with God, and the peace from God operating in you. God's prescription is power, love, and a sound mind. Ultimately, you can replace that with one name. His prescription is Jesus. You might say, well, how much does that cost? Free. It's free. The gift of eternal life, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of all of these things that we're talking about is free. But it came at a terrible cost. It cost God the life of His Son, which he was willing to give. So let me ask you, if you are here today and you're paralyzed by anxiety or worry, let me ask you, do you really know Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't think I know what you're talking about when you talk about peace and joy and love. Well, then let me tell you about Jesus. Because God wants you to experience love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. That's part of what Jesus came to give. He says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, that's not a prosperity gospel. That's not what he's preaching. He's preaching this right here. A sound mind. Peace of God. Joy. Love. The world doesn't know what he's talking about because the world can't receive it. Here's your compass point. God wants us to have peace instead of anxiety. He says to cast your cares, cast your worry, cast your anxiety, cast your problems, cast your doubts, cast them all on Him because He cares for you. Brother Michael's going to come and lead us in a verse of invitational hymn, and the altar is open. If you need to come pray, if you'd like me to pray with you, whatever you need to do, please do not leave this building today anxious or worried, but leave here today filled with the Spirit of God, feeling the peace that comes from God, peace with God, the peace of God. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings, for the peace that is beyond description that you so freely give to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know the situation of every person here today, but you do. And I pray, Lord, that you will calm their fears and that, Father, you would point them to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, knowing that there is no way to you except through Him. Father, may we rest in that assurance. May we have your peace, the peace of Christ. Father, this is your time, and we are your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.